Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Hi friends, happy Easter season. Can you believe we've made it? I hope you have been loving the mini series that we got going on about motherhood and mission. And I wanted to just kind of pop in with a little bit more of a practical episode, if you will, giving you a skill set, an idea, inspiration to kind of run with it your own direction. What I'm talking about today is intercession. Now, I am sure I have so much to learn about how to intercede for my kids of the future, right? My family, which is one of the, you know, big roles of being a parent is praying for your child and bringing them to the Lord every day. And I know that that's something important, but for at least the first year of my daughter's life, I was like, I don't really get how to do it. And I wasn't really satisfied with how I was doing that. I would just kind of say, Lord, please bless Maeve, you know, like, or please help her with this specific thing that's going on, which is all well and good, beautiful. You know, intercession is going to change throughout the seasons as, you know, you need to pray for your children. But here's one way that I have started to adopt to kind of both make myself more familiar with Scripture and to really pray with Scripture in intercession. There are so many places in Scripture where God speaks words of consolation and promise and providence and assurance to His people. And those types of words from God are the words I want to pray over my children, right? I want to kind of come into agreement with the word of God. So what I like to do now is I like to open up the Bible to one of those passages, read it, pray with it for myself, because first of all, I'm a daughter of God and I need to know that He loves me, but then also turn and pray it over my daughter that she might come into full knowledge and realization, understanding that she is so beloved and, you know, really take this Scripture to heart. Now, part of me trying to do this is the more I do this, the more I am familiar with the Word and the more I'm memorizing it. And my hope is that one day when I need it, it's in my heart to be able to just spill out to speak words of life and love to my child, right? When she, you know, needs me to say something wise, I'll have wisdom in my heart because I've been cultivating for years a familiarity with the Word of God, right? So for me, I tabbed up my Bible and I like to highlight according to the tab color. So I've got different categories. You can do this however you like. I will drop my free guide in the, the show notes, just in case you want to follow along with what I'm doing. My categories are, I am with you, courage/worry, God is provider, brokenhearted, mercy, romance/love, God's character, my identity, and encouragement. Okay, so all of these I have put in different colors on the front page of my Bible. And then throughout the Bible, I have tabbed up any promise of God that relates to that theme. And that way, whenever I'm feeling like brokenhearted, I can go to any of these blue Bible verses and hear God's word about being brokenhearted, right? Or anytime I need to remember who I am, my identity, I can go to all the yellow ones. So that's a fun thing. It's a side thing. It's time consuming, takes some time. But in my experience, building a reference Bible like this has been really, really helpful because, you know, instead of thinking, oh, I know God can probably speak to me through the word, but I don't really know how and I don't feel him, I can kind of give myself a place to start. So I don't know. I think that it's cool. I also have heard of this being called a loaded Bible. And I love the idea of doing this for your child, like either going through, you know, right before their first communion and mom highlighting her favorite verses in pink and dad highlighting his favorite verses in blue and then giving him to the child. Or I know that the woman who started Walking with Purpose, she reads a Bible every single year for one of her children and marks up all the promises and the verses that remind her of that child and writes notes to them. And so giving somebody a Bible that's prepared, sorry, I don't know why I couldn't think of that word, prepared for them by making it more accessible, color coding, tabbing, highlighting, marking up, I think that's really beautiful. I think it's cool. So this is kind of along the same lines. There's probably 100 ways to do this, but here's mine for free if you want it in the show notes. But anyways, what I'm going to do today is show you, now that I've tabbed it up, what do I actually do with it? So right now I'm in the mercy section. That's what I'm doing in the mornings. When I pray, I go to the next tabbed thing. So this morning I was in Deuteronomy, where are we? 30 verses 4 through 6. And this is what it looked like for me. First, I read the verse, which is highlighted in my Bible in red, because I think of red as mercy. Okay. And it says, if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will fetch you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Okay, so that's the verse, verses 4-6. First thing to know when you're in the Bible is, what am I reading? What book am I in? What's my context? You know, who is the character who's speaking, right? So I am already familiar with the book of Deuteronomy. I didn't need to necessarily do this, but if I had entered a book that I don't know anything about, I would say, okay, let me just do a quick search to make sure I know what I'm talking about. So I know that the book of Deuteronomy is a series of speeches given by Moses to the people. I know that he is assuring them of God's fidelity. I know that he is giving them a pep talk. I know that they're about to go into the promised land. Joshua, in the very next chapter, is about to become the leader. So he is just encouraging the people who have been wandering in the desert for 40 years and who probably feel discouraged, or maybe they feel upbuilt because they've seen God's signs and wonders, but they probably feel a little afraid because a big transition is happening from Moses to Joshua, right? So God is speaking his merciful and confident words through Moses to the people about who he is, and a reminder that he will not leave them, and he's gonna, if they wander off, he's gonna care for them. So that's my first step, is I kind of understand, okay, who's speaking, what's going on, okay. Then I kind of ask, is there anything here sticking out for me and for my own heart? And for me this morning in prayer, what stuck out in my own heart was, if your outcasts are in the outermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. From there he will fetch you. And it called to mind like the Good Shepherd imagery, that if the one lost sheep goes away, God will come find it. And I've taken to understanding this not just as like I'm the lost sheep among the church, but that parts of my heart can be the lost sheep, that like most of me is in there with the Lord. I'm like, yeah, I'm following you. I'm a good sheep. I'm in your flock. But then there can be this one part of me that wanders off and says, I don't know if I trust you. I don't know if you're going to provide for me here. Like, I will follow you over here, but I won't follow you over here. I won't let go of this attachment because I don't trust you. And so those parts of me are maybe my outcasts in the uttermost parts of heaven. And from there, the Lord will gather me, gather those parts of me that I've maybe pushed away, or maybe even the parts of me that I don't like. I'm like, that part of me should just never come to the table. And the Lord will fetch me, and he will seek me. He will follow me. You know, so that imagery was what I was receiving from my own heart. So first in prayer, I spent maybe 5-10 minutes thinking about that and thanking God that he loves me and he's my shepherd. And, you know, if I wanted to, I could flip over to John 10 and look at where he talks about being a shepherd and that sheep can hear his voice and that type of thing. But the next thing I did after that, this is where I kind of turned to intercession for my daughter, was I just prayed that this would be true. And it looked like something like this, right? And I didn't write this down or anything in a journal. I could make little notes in her Bible, but I was just praying, Lord, when and if Maeve has become an outcast, you know, there may be a time in her future where she feels alone. She feels totally misunderstood. She feels like there's pieces of her that have gone awry. And maybe there's pieces of her that I can't access as her mom. And I don't know why she's feeling lonely or why she's feeling departing from me or why she's not sharing something with me. Lord, go fetch those pieces of her, those outcast parts of her. Go gather her in, and please, Lord, shepherd her heart. Help her to never feel alone and never feel like some part of her is not lovable or welcome at the table. Lord, please, the promises that you have over Maeve, that you love her and that you are her father and that she's your child and that she's loved and nothing she ever does will separate you from her love. Can you just repeat those to her? Help her to grow up knowing that so confidently, so that her parts don't even get outcasted in the first place. And it says in verse 6, God will circumcise your heart. God, I just pray that you circumcise Maeve's heart of anything that doesn't need to be there. Just purify her heart and help her to grow, even now as young as she is, with a pure heart that's really oriented towards you, Lord. Anything that tries to get in her heart and fill up her heart, chasing desires of the world. Jesus, I just ask that you guard her heart against any of that, so that her heart can just be for you when she grows up and enters middle school and she starts to see her neighbors and her friends and her schoolmates loving a certain thing or wanting a certain thing, caring about how other people think of her, whatever kind of temptations will come. Will you just guard her heart and take care of her heart and circumcise her heart so that every day she's going to love you with all of her heart and soul? And even if she's surrounded by like a corrupt culture, She herself will be totally given to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so C, simple. All I'm doing is repeating God's word and just asking him to apply it to Maeve. But over the days, you know, this, I haven't been doing this long, I've been doing this maybe a month. This has become powerful for me to both see that I have authority to pray for my daughter. I've been entrusted her. And if I'm not praying for her like this, who is? You know, like, let me be the one to kind of grab hold of the promises of God on her behalf and say, hey, you promised this, God, will you deliver it for her? And yeah, it really just increases my love of God, knowing that he loves Maeve more than I do. And it increases my love of Maeve, where I'm like, wow, I desire so much for her. I desire her to be good and holy and healthy and obedient and thoughtful and kind and in love with God and set apart from the world and pure and to live an abundant life. Like, I desire all these good things for her. And I know that, like, my parenthood's going to wound her. I know it. I'm not perfect. I know that she's not going to see the face of God in me, though that's my job. And yet here I am every day, if I can pray for her and beg God to fill in the gap of where I'm going to mess up. To me, that's, like, really meaningful. So anyways, that's me going through the mercy thing. Tomorrow I'm going to go to the next mercy verse, which is Psalm 103, 12 through 14. And I'll do it again. I'll say, okay, where am I? How does this apply to me? And then I'm gonna pray for my daughter. And that does not have to be my whole prayer. Recently, I've only been getting small snatches of prayer, so that has been my whole prayer. But that can just be like the last 10 minutes of your prayer if you want to adopt this type of practice. It's like you can do whatever you want for your beginning part of prayer. That's you and the Lord, intimacy, bridegroom, you know, as we've been talking about. And then in the last piece of your prayer, pray intentionally like this. My hope, this hasn't happened yet, but my hope is that, you know, once I'm done with the whole mercy section, I'll move on to the next section. And then, you know, within a couple months, I'll be back at the mercy section. I'll be praying these same verses again, and I'll have different intercessions to give then because she will have grown and I will have, you know, gotten to know her more and known what to pray for more. And maybe this is something I'll just continually do until she's like leaving my house, and then I'll give her this Bible and say, I've been praying for you with this Bible for years and years. You know, I don't know what I'm gonna do. This is a young, ambitious first time mom talking. You might be like, I've got six kids and man, I do not know how to keep one book straight from the other. Like, I totally get it that I'm totally at the beginning of the journey, but I'm trying to build foundational habits so that I'm never far from the word. And this has been a really cool method of intercession for me. So I wanted to share it with you and encourage you. If you want to try it, you give it a go. And yeah, enjoy your mission of motherhood, the call that you've received. Yeah. Amen. See you next time.